My name is Jeff Archie, and thank you for joining us once again on this broadcast. Let's spend a few moments talking about the church. In earlier broadcasts, we have talked about the church that we read of in the New Testament. Today, I would like for you to consider the church in another realm and to view it in another light. For example, let us consider that the church is known as the temple of God. Our lesson text is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Where the Bible says, "Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." To whom is Paul writing here? Well, he's writing to the church. We note that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. And he's telling them that they are the temple of God. Over 100 times in the Bible, we find the temple mentioned as a place to worship God, to hear teaching, or to offer up sacrifice to Him. And this challenge made to the church at Corinth is teaching that is worthy for us to note today. As we note the church is the temple of God from our text, consider some introductory thoughts on our study today from this text. First of all, the temple is not to be defiled. We see that in verse 17. The word defile means to not corrupt or to corrupt, to deprive or destroy. So when he tells them, if any man defile the temple of God, in essence he says, if any man corrupts it, if any man deprives it, if any man destroys it, speaking of themselves. Let's stop and think about corruption for a moment. As the temple of God, we must not corrupt where God dwells. In other words, we just can't live any old way and think it's acceptable to God. But secondly, we must not deprive where God dwells. We cannot deprive ourselves of the daily needs, of the spiritual daily needs. We understand the power of prayer, the power of studying God's Word, of serving Him. These things just continue to allow God to dwell in our hearts and lives. And obviously, we must not destroy where God dwells. Slowly, if we corrupt or deprive, we tear apart our lives. It's just like a house, for example. Over a period of time, we have to make updates on our house. We have to paint. We have to consider its structure. There are a lot of things that we have to think about with our houses. And if we keep them updated and take care of them day by day, well, they last us a lot longer. We have a warning and an exhortation as the temple of God. And I want you to notice with me today how the church is depicted as the temple of God. And let us look at our lives in that light. Let us examine the church as the temple of God in light of worship, of work, and our walk. Again, that's in worship, in work, and in our walk. Number one, in worship, the church is the temple of God. In 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19, Paul says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? Secondly, from Romans 8, verses 9 through 11, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit who dwelleth in you. In Ephesians 2, 19 through 22, Paul writes and says, now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. As we gather together to worship, we understand that in Bible times, the temple was a place to offer up sacrifices and worship God. Well, indeed, the church is a temple. And we understand those in the church are to be living sacrifices. That's Romans 12, verse 1. And of course, we are all priests of God, a holy priesthood as Christians. 1 Peter 2, 9. Therefore, we should come together to worship God within the church. My friends, is your worship in accordance with God's will? John 4, 24 says, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. What we offer up today as Christians, what we offer up and address today as Christians in our worship, needs to be in accordance with what God says, not what man wants. My friends, where you attend worship, can you take the New Testament and show in every avenue of worship that you offer unto God, can you show its authorization? It is of interest to note that many things that we think is acceptable to God in worship may not be. But we know the Bible tells us that in worship, the church is the temple of God, and when we gather together to worship, it must be in accordance with God's will. Why has God asked for such? You know, both Cain and Abel offered up sacrifice unto God. Cain's wasn't accepted, but Abel's was. That tells us that just offering up any old worship doesn't make it right. We know why Abel offered up his worship. It was done by faith. In other words, he understood what God required. Let us think on these things. But I submit to you, secondly, in work, the church is the temple of God. From our lesson text in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we go back up to verses 9 through 15. In this text, I want you to notice in verse 9 that there are three words, laborers, husbandry, and building. There's another word in verse 10 concerning the foundation. It's mentioned again in verse 11. And a phrase in verse 10 that says, take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Consider this with me. We are to be God's laborers. That means we use His blueprint. We follow God's pattern. We see His directive to follow. That would be God's pattern, the blueprint. Interestingly, we find the tabernacle of old built according to the pattern, Exodus 25, 9. Who gave them that pattern? God did. So with the church in the New Testament, we want to build according to the pattern, to restore it in its simplicity, in its worship, in its work, and in its walk. God's husbandry, we see the idea of using seed. The seed is the Word of God. God has brought forth a pattern from His Word, and we use His Word in order to feed and to nurture and to grow. In God's building, we use His materials. Obviously, if I follow the blueprint, God's Word, then I see the materials therein that I use in order to build. God's foundation, hey, that's the Christ. Well, there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's Acts 4:12. And in Matthew 16 and verse 18, Jesus said upon this rock, what rock? The statement that Peter made, that He was the Son of God, the Christ, the Son of God. That's the rock, the solid foundation that the church is built upon. It's built upon the foundation that Christ is the Son of God. And we must reflect it in name and in action. But we also see God's awareness to take heed. We must be careful what we use and how we use it. We must abide by the codes that are therein on whatever we build for Christ. When we put it all together, we see the following from 1 Timothy 3:15. Paul says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. You and I must see that we are to support and uphold the truth. The house is built. My friends, our lives should be in our work, the pillar and ground of the truth. What we do must glorify Christ, support and strengthen. But now we come to number three. The church is the temple of God in how we walk. My friends, we know that God is not really housed in a physical structure. We understand from Psalm 142:4, He is everywhere. But even the long ago, Solomon, who built that beautiful temple, said in 2 Chronicles 6:18, but will God indeed dwell with men on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heavens of heavens cannot contain you, how much less this temple which I have built. Acts 7:48, we find similar in Acts 17:24, God who made the world and everything in it, since He is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Of course, God dwells in the Christian, 1 John 4:15. The Son of God dwells in the Christian, Ephesians 3:16 and 17. We understand how the Spirit dwells within the Christian, the same way as God, the same way as Christ. So would it not stand to reason, my friends, if God dwells in us, that He must arrange us as His temple, His house, the way that He wants it? An illustration, if you will. Imagine someone invited you to stay with them. And let's say that you show up with a moving van and all your furniture. You go in and start talking about moving a lot of their furniture out, rearranging, bringing in, painting with new colors. Now, you're going to stop and listen to this and say, well, that's ridiculous, preacher. You can't do that. How come? Well, because I may be living there, but it's not my house. Now, what if they gave the house to you? And you would have the right to rearrange it any way you want. Therefore, if we've given our lives to Jesus, He must be the owner. We must do things according to His way. And He makes His home, His dwelling place in our hearts and lives. And as the owner, He wants us arranged the way He wants it. Sometimes we want God to come and live with us, but we don't want Him to rearrange the furniture. We want Him to come in and bless our house, our lives, with all of His blessings, but don't bother changing things, and this is the way I am, and this is the way I'm going to be, and so on. But folks, it doesn't work that way. Some things have to be thrown out. There may be some alcohol or drug abuse that's not out in the front living room, but it's hidden away in a closet. It's still got to go. It's in God's house. If there's lust or pornography on TV or the computer, that's got to go. There may be hate and bitterness in some room behind a closed door. That's got to go. Selfish pride may be out there on the coffee table of our lives. It's got to go. Lying, cursing, foul language, all these things. Well, my friends, if God moves in our lives, these things must be moved out. On a previous broadcast, we talked about the works of the flesh. My friends, these things must go if God dwells in us, because for our walk to be as Christ wants it to be, and as God wants it to be, some things just must go. Yes, my friends, God dwells in the Christian. He wants us to worship His way, work for Him, and walk in His way. We extended to you the beautiful invitation of Christ as we began this study. May we help you make that decision this day. If so, please contact us. Thank you for joining us today. I'm Jeff Archie. We'll see you next time.